This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Monday evening. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook, and joined by my ginger brother, Will Hill. The NBA Finals complete last night. College World Series, all she wrote on Sunday afternoon, Will. So it's Major League Baseball full steam ahead, baby. NBA Draft on Wednesday. Mr. Hill, how are you, sir?
Always well, man. I'm to answer your question honestly and directly, I'm warm. It's hot. Outside, it's hot seemingly everywhere. I know you out there in Vegas aren't going to feel too bad for for anyone, but man, it seems like it does tie into Major League Baseball, because if you're betting baseball, betting the totals, especially, the weather factors into it. And man, 100 degrees everywhere, warm here in the Northeast. I know it's warm in the Midwest, just everywhere, everyone you talk to. And you, like I probably got friends all over the country doing this stuff, and man, warm everywhere. Ball should be carrying in terms of baseball. But yeah, that was, like you mentioned with the NBA, that was a strange, strange night last night. I'm sure we'll get into it.
Yeah.
That was just a weird, weird game seven, everything with Halliburton and, the black cloud over that game. But I like this time of the year. Get to recharge the batteries a little bit. Less going on. Get time to prep for football, NFL, college football. You still get the daily sweat with baseball. We get the draft in a couple days. We'll have Wimbledon. We'll have, NFL preseason starting in like, 4 or 5 weeks. So it's not that bad. I actually kind of enjoy this time of year.
No, it's not bad at all. I mean, we are less than 5 days away from week zero of college football. Like you said, we've got the British Open will be here before we know it. So don't worry. Don't fret, people. We'll still have plenty to talk about. The NBA draft, as mentioned, will be on Wednesday and Thursday, by the way. And we'll have a special draft show on Wednesday night. Myself and Matt Eumanns will be doing that here on the network. So a whole lot to get to here on the program. Great guest list. Zachary Cohen going to join us to give a little postmortem on the NBA season. But also, Zach, very heavily invested in the NBA draft. We'll get his thoughts. He's got a couple of best bets on the draft as well. We'll talk some NBA in hour two with Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM's NBA Radio. Always great to catch up with Patrick Everson, get the latest from all over Vegas and all across the country at all the sports books. A little update there from our guy Patrick Everson after a busy weekend. And then George Reister, former Oregon Duck, now member of the media, loves college football. So we'll talk a little college football with George in the final hour of the program. But as mentioned, we do have a busy night of baseball. A whole lot of games here in this opening hour. So let's get to it. Let's get to the biggest game of the night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
All right, Will Hill, we got two games that I think are worthy. And there's a vetting process when it comes to the VSiN primetime game of the night. I mean, we go through vigorous checks and make sure it is worthy of that moniker, VSiN primetime game of the night. We could start in 5 minutes, Yankees, Reds, or we could go a little bit later on in this hour, classic rivalry in the NL Central, Cubs and Cardinals. Those are my two candidates for primetime game of the night. What say you, sir?
I'm surprised. I thought you were going to be eyeing the Washington Nationals and the Padres they play later, right? Revisit the Soto trade, Mackenzie Gore and Abrams. That's a great rivalry, too.
Great. That's a
we'll go Yankees Reds.
It's a loose usage of the word great.
Yes, and rivalry and probably everything else.
I do know our mutual friend John Murray will be in attendance there at said game tonight at Petco Park. One of my favorite ballparks in all of baseball. I did check off Oracle Park last week, Will. So very beautiful park there, as I took in a little matinee last Thursday as the Giants beat the Guardians. But Petco definitely high up on my list. I will, unfortunately, some of us got to work around these parts, unlike, guys who run sports books. So I could not sneak off for a Nats-Padres game this week. But That is going to be a game I'm going to watch tonight, no doubt, coming up at 9:45 Eastern. But yes, let's get to Yankees and Reds. Reds, I'll say this, 40-38, and they are a team that I do have a preseason win total over 78.5. So I would much prefer the Cincinnati Reds take this one here this evening against your beloved New York Yankees. But I'll let you give it the old breakdown here. As you see, the Yankees, a slight road favorite at circa minus $1.19. Cincinnati at home there at the Great American Ballpark, plus 107.
Yeah, I like the over here. I think that Yankees have just been so good against lefties. Now, they have not swung the bats well recently, the last week, 10 days, but maybe they're starting to come out of it. They had a breakout against the Angels on Thursday, scored a bunch of runs against Baltimore on Saturday, and then Sunday, put together some hits when they needed to. So it's a good lineup. They're not going to slump forever. Maybe this is the other side of that slump, and you get them, at the right time here, coming off a cold streak. And again, they hit lefties really well, and the weather's conducive to hitting. Now, Lodolo has not been great at home. ERA close to six. He's a good pitcher. He's got good stuff. So I don't love the idea of fading him. And Winans, but to me, you got to play the numbers here in terms of Yanks versus lefties, the weather, Lodolo's numbers at home. And Winans going for the Yankees. He's been outstanding in the minors, but every time he's had a chance to pitch at the major league level, he's gotten hit. He's gotten hit hard. I don't think he's going to have, swing and miss type stuff here to dominate, especially, again, Cincinnati small ballpark, weather conducive to a lot of offense. So 10's a pretty high total, but, you can get, run first inning too, like minus 115, minus 120.
Ooh, a little Yerfy.
I think we'll get some offense here in the game of the night.
You know, Will, every time I work with you, I find myself making extra bets. And you always, I'm very hard to convince, as you can tell. So maybe I have to throw in a little Yerfy here. What are we looking at for a Yerfy here in the first inning? We'll see. Maybe take a look at that one. So that game starting here in 5 minutes. Let's run through the other games here that are going to be getting underway. We've got the Braves on the road at Citi Field. And right now you've got the Braves as pretty sizable road favorites with Schwellenbach on the hill for the Braves.
I think it's justified. I like the Braves here. Blackburn has not been good. He's a guy I liked backing when he was on the A's. I thought he was kind of an underrated pitcher, but the Mets traded for him last deadline. He got hurt pretty quickly. He wasn't effective. And he just hasn't been that pitcher that we've seen. We saw the previous year and a half with the A's. That has not carried over to his new home here with the Mets. Now, maybe part of it, A's is a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, or at least the old Oakland Coliseum, whatever that dumb thing they used to call it was. And you start to get into some more hitter-friendly environments, and he hasn't been able to replicate the success. But I think it's just a tough matchup for him. And he just saw this team 5 days ago. Was it Wednesday night? He faced the Braves, and he didn't make it out of the fourth inning. They hit him. They hit him hard. Schwellenbach is a better pitcher than him. The Mets saw Schwellenbach recently, too, so that maybe cancels out a little bit. But, boy, the Braves, good lineup. A better pitcher. Every time you think they're about to put the foot on the gas and hit the accelerator and start to make a charge up the NL East standings, the wild card standings, they do something like lose 2 out of 3 to the Marlins or drop a game to the Rockies. They just can't quite get it going. All of the talent is there, but now Sale's on the IL with a rib cage. It's just a frustrating team to believe in, to back. Not that I have any futures or interest in them. Just watching them from afar and trying to gauge, should you put a future on them? Should you take a shot on them NL East or NL pennant? Some sort of positive Braves future. I've been eyeing it. I've held off, and just the more you watch them, maybe it's just one of those years where it doesn't get going because, like I said, every time you think it's about to hit a breakthrough here with Atlanta, they're about to make a run, they just can't quite put together the week, 10 days they need to get over the hump and put themselves in good position. But
yeah,
they swept the Mets last week. I think they win tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's funny. I've continued to monitor, the NL East market and be like, all right, do we put it in there? I'm glad I never did. Right now, the Braves are 25-1 to win the NL East. And I think that's warranted when you look at how well the Mets and the Phillies have been playing. But as mentioned tonight, with the pitching matchup in their favor, Schwellenbach on the hill at Citi Field, that is sitting at -$1.45. And that is one that has been on the old move, opened up -117. So we've seen a 28-cent move on Braves against the Mets in favor of the Braves. Also coming up in just a little bit, we mentioned our game of the night. We still have a bunch of games later on here in this hour, but only two games about to get underway. We're underway in Baltimore as Trevor Rogers against Patrick Corbin. Man, I know Corbin's had a decent bounce back season, but man, you think of two terrible pitchers, at least over recent memory. Trevor Rogers for the Orioles. What a disaster that trade was for the Orioles, acquiring him at the deadline last year from the Marlins, and then Patrick Corbin, look, as I always say, Will, thank you for your service in 2019. That was lovely. You stole money the next, 5 years there in the nation's capital, but you got him a championship. That's all we care about. But that game is underway, scoreless there in Baltimore. Bunch of other games we'll get to, but our game of the night, once again, revisiting it as it's about to get underway, Yankees and Reds, and Will likes over 10 runs. And if you like the first inning It is minus 130 on the yes, there will be a run. Is the only one, as I looked at my app just a moment ago, Will, it is the only game tonight still to play that is higher than minus 110 on the yes. So minus $1.30 on the yes, Yankees Reds first inning run.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring up Corbin. Corbin has actually been, like he's, like you mentioned, decent. Fade Corbin, that was a big, almost like a holiday on, you know, gambling Twitter amongst the betting community. Hasn't been that easy this year. Now, some of the advanced stuff suggests there's some regression coming, but he's been certainly formidable, certainly good enough where you can't just bet against him and count your money afterwards, whether that's side, you know, team total, first five. He's been serviceable, which maybe he doesn't speak well to Washington, that they couldn't get this out of him. As soon as he leaves, he's actually, you know, pretty serviceable here for the for the Rangers. Rogers was a guy, made an all-star team young in his career. He looked very promising. He just, you know, he's had injuries, velocity's down. He has not been able to duplicate that success, but so far so good. And I know that's another game, 100 degree weather there in Baltimore, but so far the battle of the lefties is scoreless here as we're in the bottom of the third here. So weather, the runs, the hitting environment, something to keep an eye on here as we have warm temperatures throughout the country.
All right, we are underway. It is VSiN Prime Time. You could tweet us. I'm at one Tim Murray. That's at not the Will Hill. You got Ginger Power for the next 4 hours, a whole lot of great content coming your way. On the other side, Will, what do you say we take a look back at what we saw last night? Oklahoma City takes care of business. They are your NBA champion. And what does it mean for the Eastern Conference moving forward with Tyrese Haliburton tearing his Achilles tendon? Come on back. It is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here on a Monday night as we are underway at the Great American Ballpark, Yankees and Reds, as Aaron Judge steps to the dish with his 367 batting average and 27 home runs. We've got Braves and Mets underway at Citi Field, and the Orioles strike first against the Texas Rangers as they plate a run there to make it 1-0. Still to come in this hour, Will Hill, we have 4 games to get underway. Arizona at the White Sox, Pittsburgh at the Brewers, Mariners and Twins, and the runner-up to our Game of the Night sweepstakes, the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals. How about Wednesday afternoon? We got Paul Skeens against the newest phenom, Mizorowski, there in Milwaukee. That should be a fun one to take in on a Wednesday afternoon in Milwaukee.
How about Mizorowski? It shows you the National League Rookie of the Year market, where this guy's throwing about 10, 11 innings, and he's a 2-1 short shot to win the award. There's just nobody doing much in that market. It's just it's one of those years where AL Rookie of the Year, you got a bunch of, you know, Caglione, easy for me to say, people love Jacob Wilson. Just basically, I think he's on pace here to start.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
All rise.
There it is. Did you bet it?
I did. Thank you very much, Will Hill.
Go.
Ginger Power,
there
give me a winner. -$1.30, the most expensive Yerfie out there. And guess what? It came home. Aaron Judge. And just like that, 16 minutes into the show, Will Hill has already made my pockets that much fatter. Thank you, sir.
That's it. That's it. End of the show. Let's clock out. We'll see you tomorrow.
We're 7 good.
O'clock.
I mean, I'll go buy some beers.
Cashing out with somebody's up next. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll go buy some beers for the crew here because we got a winner. And yes, Aaron Judge going yard to get things going there at the Great American Ballpark. Good call by you, sir, Mr. Will Hill.
It helps us. It helps us that, look, that he challenged him there, and it helps us win our bet. 3-1, nobody on base, 2 outs. Why bother? Like, why not just, you know what, ball 4 and we'll deal with, I know Stan's on deck and he's still Giancarlo Stanton, Hall of Famer, borderline Hall of Famer. I just don't get, especially in past situations where he doesn't have that protection behind him. Why teams continue to challenge him, but we'll enjoy it. And 1-0 Yanks, and I think we'll see some more runs here, obviously, because look, this is just a good hitting environment here, ball flying out, so should be a lot of fun. What were we talking about? National League Rookie of the Year market, Mizorowski against Skeens is going to be fun, and just a wide open market. I tweeted out on Saturday night when Chase Burns, the phenom for the Reds, got called up. 100-1 Rookie of the Year. You know, I made dumber bets. I'll take a shot on that. I woke up. That was around midnight Saturday on the East Coast. Woke up Sunday morning, like 8 o'clock. He's down to 20-1. So it just goes to show you, it's really up for grabs in the National League. It's a wide, wide open National League Rookie of the Year race.
Yeah, and I wanted to circle back to, I had mentioned these stats after Mizorowski started on Friday night there for the Brewers. Some of the stats that came out after that start were just, they were mind-boggling of what this young man has done in his first two starts. He is the only pitcher in modern era to have more wins than hits allowed over his first two career starts. Yeah. And he became the first pitcher to start his big league career with 11 consecutive hitless innings as a starter since 1900. And still thinking back to the strikeout that he had where he made the dude from the Twins corkscrew into the ground.
And I mean, he's 6'7", 6'8". He's throwing the ball 102. I mean, his stuff is legitimate. I don't look at him like, you know, some flash in the pan or legal catch up to him. I mean, he's legit. He's had some control issues, at least in his first start. The command issues was great last time out. Not only took a no-hitter into the seventh, but a perfect game into the seventh. So, yeah, he's legit. You watch him and you wonder, like, why did it take until June to call that guy up? Like, what has that guy been doing? How do you have five guys better than that guy in the rotation?
Yeah, no idea. And you think about, what was it, Aaron Civale, who got put to the bullpen because of Mizorowski. I don't want to be here anymore. All right, go to the White Sox, buddy.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to talk a little draft as well as some recap to what we saw last night there in Oklahoma City with Zachary Cohen coming up bottom of the hour, Will. But look, as we watched last night, 103-91, another Game 7 under came home as the trend does continue. I believe that is, what, five or six straight times Game 7 NBA Finals goes under. Easy cash there. And I know it was one of those weird things, too, where I did bet it just out of principle, Will, and I said it on my show, but I didn't, you know, recommend it. Because you were paying a massive tax, but ultimately it does come home. It was weird watching the post-game reaction, you know, watching Van Pelt and folks kind of filtering in and out, because you didn't know how to react to it. It was, hey, this is an incredible turnaround, probably best turnaround in the history of the NBA. When you think, you know, you had two bad seasons, then they were in the play-in 2 years ago. They were the one seed last year, get knocked out in the second round, and then this year, 68 wins and some mind-boggling numbers that went along with it, and they're the champs. And then on the flip side, Will, you look at the Indiana Pacers, a team that I think many of us were thinking, wow, here we go. This might be the best team in the East next year with Jason Tatum being out. And now you lose Tyrese Halliburton. So as you look back at last night to spin it forward, what was your kind of biggest takeaway from what we saw last night as the Thunder hoisted the Larry O'Brien Trophy?
Yeah, the word I kept using, bizarre, unfulfilling. It was just a strange night. I mean, you go into this game with so much excitement, all of the hype, first time in 9 years, Game 7 of the NBA Finals. And not just that, great storylines. The Pacers, this Hoosiers-like underdog story, all of these upsets, all of these comebacks, this wild, wild. And we don't see this in the NBA. I mean, we don't see Cinderella in the NBA. It's more of a, you know, college basketball, see it. We'll see it in the NFL sometimes. The NBA is chalk. It's a chalk fest. They were such a fun team, such an improbable run. And up against the big bad Thunder, they forced a Game 7. Most people thought this was going 5. And here we are, one game away from this incredible, incredible title for the Pacers. And not only that, they come out guns a-blazing. Yeah. Halliburton hits three threes, led the game in threes, even after the finale. Like, he hit the most threes last night. And then he gets hurt. And it was just an awkward, bizarre, weird feel after that. I thought OKC oddly had a letdown where part of it was, I don't know, the other team's best player hurt, so you maybe mentally you take the foot off the gas a little bit. There was just a little bit of a shock for everybody. And even after all that, Pacers are up one going into the halftime, and you're thinking, man, are the Pacers, I wouldn't put it past them to actually do this without Haliburton. I'm curious what you think. I kind of felt that it was pretty much inevitable at that point. Once Haliburton got hurt, OKC was going to hit him with a run, and the Pacers probably weren't going to have the offense to, you know, hang around and actually steal the game. They made a little run late to threaten the cover. I never really felt like they were in danger to win it. So awkward, bizarre, unfulfilling. It was a very strange night. I compared it to the series finale of The Sopranos, where you're like, oh man, that's how it's going to end. The TV is going to go black and that's it. Like, that's what we're doing. Like, it was a bummer. As a sports fan, it's a bummer. You hate what ifs. If it's one thing, if OKC came out and look, healthy Haliburton, they might have still won by double digits. I picked them to cover with Haliburton, you know, in the game. But we'll never know. It'll be a great what if. It'll drive you crazy if you're the Pacers, and who knows if you're the Pacers, if when you ever get back in Halliburton's time. It's nothing's guaranteed to anybody. I mean, we saw that with the Thunder last time they were in the finals. Durant, Harden, Westbrook, three MVPs. They're set up forever. Well, they trade Harden, it falls apart, and they have to wait 13 years. So just a odd, uncomfortable night, unfulfilling, really disappointed as a sports fan. I don't know. What were your takeaways? What was your reaction sitting there watching?
I would say similar. It did feel like when Haliburton hit those three threes, here we go. You know, this is gonna be a game. You know, this is going to be a true elite game seven. And then you could feel it, the air come out of the arena when Haliburton went down. And to your point, the Thunder just looked lethargic there, and it felt like they needed halftime to get them re-energized, and then you see the defense come out and play as well as they did to get the championship. But I'll say this, kind of big picture, you know, there's no asterisk. The Thunder, I don't know. I don't really care about rankings and all of that stuff. That's for different networks to do. You know, they were the best team in the NBA this year. Were they a bit overvalued? Maybe. At least on the road. At home, they were great, and they were covering machines at home. But yeah, I think we'll talk about it certainly as the show goes on. You know, what is next for the Pacers? What's next for the Eastern Conference? You know, could you make some interesting bets when it comes to the East from a future standpoint next year? Do you look at a team like Detroit? Do you look at Orlando, who made the big move for Desmond Bane? So there's a lot of questions. There's not a lot of answers, it seems like, for the Eastern Conference. And then for OKC, man, I said it on Twitter, kind of tongue in cheek, Will, and I'll talk about this more as the show goes on, but like, you've got three picks in the first round. You've got all this treasure chest of picks. Like, what if they just be aggressive on Wednesday? And they're like, you know what? We're going to go get Con Knipple. We're going to go get Trey Johnson, because I don't know about you, but man, could they miss more threes last night? My God, it was like beating your head against the wall. Thank God for their defense.
Who's the kid they have overseas? Nikola Topic, right? I know we got Jokic and Jovic and Topic, but they got Topic. They almost got the Sixers pick, which was protected. The Sixers were able to keep it.
Yeah.
And like you said, they got all these assets. I do have a team in the East that I'm eyeing at pretty long shots on. Maybe we can talk about that when we come back.
I like that. We'll also talk to Zachary Cohen. Hey, just a reminder, folks, football season not too far away. Right now at VSiN, we've got an early bird special, $175 to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. VSiN.com/subscribe.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here on a Monday night. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Let's get you updated real quickly on the games going on across Major League Baseball. Give you some live odds as well as the winner already, courtesy of my ginger brother, Will Hill. The Yankees get a homer from Aaron Judge, shocker, there with two outs in the top of the first inning. Yankees lead 1-0 at Great American Ballpark, -$1.75 on the live line. Total down to 9.5. So I know Will liked the over 10 runs. So let's get a little bit more run support out there at Great American Ballpark. The Orioles, they lead 1-0, -243 favorite now against the Rangers in the fifth inning there. Trevor Rogers, you know, we were talking smack about Trevor Rogers, Will. I just saw a tweet come across that he is pumping it at like 96 miles an hour. So he's feeling it tonight. And the Braves have a 1-0 lead in the top of the second inning off of Pete Blackburn and the New York Mets. Spencer Schwellenbach on the hill for the Braves. Braves -241 favorite right now, Will.
I've always been a Trevor Rogers believer. Some might say I have a Trevor Rogers fetish. That might be going too strong.
That's a little weird.
A little weird, a little strange. 2000 and 2021, the COVID year, he was dominant. He came up for the Marlins. He was an all-star. He was, threw hard. He's lost velocity. He's had injuries. Maybe we're seeing the talent here come back to earth. He's still not that old. I think, mid-20s, 26, 27. But enough Trevor Rogers content. We got the great Zach Cohen. So
that is right. Groups. We do indeed. Betting on X is where you can find our good friend Zachary Cohen as he joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. We're going to talk a lot of NBA draft with Zach here in just a moment. But I'll ask you the question I asked Will, kind of post-mortem it, your biggest takeaway from what we saw last night. Thunder get it done. Obviously, the Tyrese Halliburton injury. We haven't even talked about the Durant trade that also happened on Sunday as well. So biggest takeaway for you, Zach, moving forward about what we saw last night in Oklahoma City.
I think my biggest takeaway is that the Thunder were somewhat beatable. I know that that's a little bit ridiculous when they won the title. That defense was great. And I know I saw your tweet earlier that they have ways that they can improve this roster. They have a lot of picks. Nikola Topic is coming back. There's going to be guys that are going to be able to kind of grow into rotation spots for them. So they are getting better. But if I were a team that feels somewhat close to competing, I wouldn't be kind of, deterred from making a swing to go for it and try to win the title, which is why I really liked what the Rockets did, especially with not giving up any core pieces for Kevin Durant. I think Houston's going to be an awesome team next year with a real shot of winning the title. And I think there's a lot of value on the futures market looking ahead to next season, which I already wrote it up at VSiN.com, a few title pieces that I already put up there, but also some plays to win their conferences.
Zach, it's in poor form when a team wins the title to say, yeah, but because it's like every team at some point has injuries, injury luck is part of it. But let's just go down that road. If we were just sitting around and having a couple beers and I said, Jack, be honest with me, if Halliburton is healthy, the rest of that game plays out, .. How would you fill in the blank? Where did you think that game was headed with Halliburton in it based on the first 7-8 minutes that you saw?
I had the Pacers covering. I had a little bit on the money line. Seeing Halliburton starting off like that, on fire from three for four, I thought they looked, ready for the moment, excited about playing that big road game in a tough atmosphere. I think it was going to be a really close game with 4 or 5 minutes left. So I think we were robbed of a classic, to be honest.
Yeah, it did feel that way a little bit. I want to get to the draft here in just a moment. You and I briefly discussed it yesterday on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. However, you do have an article up, as you alluded to, over at VSiN.com. So as we look ahead, and the Eastern Conference is so now fascinating. It sucks for Pacers fans. I can't imagine what our guy Wes Reynolds is feeling like today. So close to a title, and then Tyrese Halliburton goes down. But you've got Halliburton out. Damian Lillard is out. Jason Tatum, obviously, is out. You see the Magic make the big acquisition for Desmond Bain. So let's start in the East. Anyone for you that is interesting in the Eastern Conference already in the futures market?
Yeah, so I did already get a piece of the Magic at 45-1, I believe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I forget what it was, but that was back when the Magic were being linked to Anfernee Simons, who is nowhere near as good as Desmond Bane. I just thought Orlando was going to swing on a shooting guard, try to address that need for three-point shooting and perimeter scoring. Obviously, they did. The Magic now look like they're in really good shape, but I will say, I think that there's some teams down the board that have a really good chance of being much better next season, with the Raptors being one of them and the Hawks being the other. I think the Raptors, they made that deadline deal acquiring Brandon Ingram, who had an injured ankle at the time, did not play the rest of the season. People almost forget that they made that move. He is a very good player. I know that he has, haters, detractors around the league, but he's a 20 points per game scorer entering a team that, really needs some firepower on offense. And I believe the Raptors, kind of like the Pacers this year, are a team that's going to go 9 or 10 deep next season. So there's definitely some potential for Toronto to kind of go from one of these lottery teams to a top 4, top 5 team in the Eastern Conference, and feel very similarly about the Hawks, who were in the play-in last year. Jalen Johnson kind of emerged as a borderline all-star for them and ended up suffering a season-ending shoulder injury, but that's a team that I think is built really well. I know that people kind of like to hate on Trae Young a little bit. He's a player that has not won a lot in his career, but when you surround him with 6'7" to 6'10" wings that all play defense, all contribute in a number of different ways, and you get Clint Capella, who I believe was a negative to them, off the team. I just think that that's a little bit of addition by subtraction, and it's another team that I believe can get a little bit better this summer. So those are really long prices on those two teams. I think they have shots at, you know, kind of competing in the East next year.
Zach, play professor here and grade the Durant trade for me. I think the consensus was, man, the Suns got fleeced. I thought it was fair. I liked it from Houston's standpoint. I didn't think the Suns were getting much back from him. I didn't think they had much leverage considering the age, the moodiness of Durant, all those factors. I thought getting something back, getting what they got back, was reasonable. So I didn't feel the same way. But I don't know, play professor, take out your grading, highlighter, pencil, and tell me what you thought of it from a Rocket standpoint and from a Sun standpoint.
I give an A-plus to the Rockets. I just think getting a scorer like that who averages 28 points per game on efficient shooting and doesn't hurt you on the defensive end of the floor. He's been a very good weak side defender his entire career, is an A-plus when you're not giving up any of your core pieces. And I think Dylan Brooks was pretty important to the identity of that team as a tough kind of 3-and-D player. And I do think that Jalen Green is an explosive young player, but he's very inefficient. Keeping, you know, Eason, Jabari Smith, Reed Shepard, not sacrificing your future and bringing in a scorer like that who's just going to fit like a glove, it's just insane for a team that I thought was really close last year to kind of breaking through and making a run in the Western Conference. So I thought that they did really well getting KD for what they did. I am a Suns fan, was not happy with the package on the other end of that. I just don't think that Green really fits the team. Maybe you move Bradley Beal and Grayson Allen, you kind of get rid of that logjam at shooting guard. It starts to make a little bit more sense. And, you know, picking a good player at 10 would definitely help. But, man, it's just tough to be excited about the Suns right now.
Yeah, I don't know who in their right mind would ever want to touch that Bradley Beal contract. Was it $52 million, Zach, this year?
I'm hoping your Wizards might want to do it if we give you some more picks.
Bring them back, baby. Hey, bring on. Come on. The old forgotten son there. Zachary Cohen joining us here. Betting on X is where you could find him. You could read his work over at vsin.com. All right. We only got about 2 minutes left, so let's get to the NBA draft. We talked about it briefly yesterday. A couple of these markets have been, you know, taken down. But for you, as of right now, what jumps out to you as still bettable for the NBA draft?
Yeah, so I gave you that Jeremiah Fears under 7.5 pick the other day. That's not out there anymore, but I am starting to like Fears to go in the top five at plus 300. There's just so much smoke about there being interest from Utah. They had him in for a one-on-one workout last Thursday. Apparently, he shot the lights out in an empty gym, for what that's worth. But I do think that Austin Ainge being over there, you know, a new fresh set of eyes, they're not going to really be married to the guards that they have there already. And Isaiah Collier and Keontae George, both players that have had flashes but just really have not been consistently impressive. I think maybe they're going to be looking at a guy like Fears, who maybe does offer the type of star upside that you're getting from a guy like Dylan Harper at 2, and they are not in a position to do that. So maybe they're going to go for the next best thing. That might be Fears, who I do believe there's a really good shot he goes 5 now.
Zach, last 30, 40 seconds or so, who is the next best player or the best player here that's going to get traded this summer with Bane Durant off the market? Do we see another fringe kind of all-star here move?
I don't know. I haven't heard many names being shopped. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jazz do trade marketing. I just don't really understand why there's this talk about Utah now trying to potentially win. I know that things didn't go their way when it comes to the ping pong balls in the lottery, but that's just kind of the way it is. I'm not sure that going out and trying to win with the roster that they have in place is the solution. So I do see them listening on marketing on draft night. There's going to be, you know, some teams looking to make some offers, and I don't think it's Giannis. I don't think it's a player of that caliber. So that's kind of the name that I would say is the most available, the best player kind of on a bad team that needs to go in another direction.
He's our senior editor, vsin.com. He's got columns up already taking a look at next year's NBA season. The draft will be here on Wednesday. Best bets for that as well. Zach, always appreciate the insight, man.
Thanks, guys.
Betting on X is where you can find Zachary Cohen. We'll get you updated as we got a whole new batch of games just about underway in Major League Baseball. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Come on back. It is VSiN Primetime.
Yeah. This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Monday evening. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Busy night in baseball. Not the busiest night, but a busy night. We've got a fair share of games underway. Already a homer from Aaron Judge, his 28th of the season. That came in the top of the first there at Great American Ballpark. But unfortunately for you, Mr. Will Hill, we have not seen any more runs. So right now, as we look at the live market in Cincinnati, total still sits at 9.5, juiced under, minus $1.16, as we're right now in the bottom of the second. Looks like the Yankees just turned. No, they did not turn a double play. It was he was safe at first, so a fielder's choice. So man on first, Yankees lead 1-0. $1.54 favorite against the Reds right now.
Yeah, first and third, one out for the Yanks in the second. They could not score. We'll see if the Reds can muster anything, but long way to go here. Got the quick one early. Would have liked to tack on at least get one there in the second with the Yankees side of it, but we'll see if it doesn't look like the Reds are going to come through with much, as this one is going to be turned for double play. So yeah. We head to the third, 1-0 Yankees. Ronald Acuna. So we had Judge homer, and we had Acuna homer. So the stars of baseball are putting on a show tonight. Acuna, man, he is so good. He wasn't great last year, even before he got hurt, but he has really returned to the MVP from, 2 years ago? Man, he's just the swing looks great. He's just got that smooth, easy swing. He makes contact, and he just kind of puts his head down, and you realize it's gone as it hit. It goes 15, 20 feet over the fence. Just an effortless, beautiful swing as he takes Blackburn deep, and the Mets are in some trouble here. 2-0 lead for the Braves. 2 on, nobody out, looking to add more.
Well, we talked about this number. It was around, minus 148. It moved almost 30 cents towards the Braves, and you were in agreement with that movement, with Schwellenbach on the hill for the Braves, with Pete Blackburn struggling as much as he has, and so far that has been the case. A 419-foot homer from Ronald Acuna Jr., his 9th of the season since coming back from injury, and now men on second and third for the Braves after, I believe, a wild pitch just moved him over there. So the Braves maybe about to crack this one open. Live line now out to 4.5 on the run line for Braves and Mets. We got a 3-run homer in Baltimore as Jackson Holliday having himself quite the day. End of 5 innings in Baltimore, and Jackson Holliday has all 4 RBI for the Orioles. A RBI double in the third, Will, and then a 3-run shot for Jackson Holliday. And Trevor Rogers, 5 scoreless innings, 1 hit, no runs, 4 strikeouts for Trevor Rogers as he is trying to redeem himself a bit from that trade just a year ago when he got acquired by the Marlins by the Orioles.
Yeah, and boy, the Orioles desperately need it because they have a severe deficit in terms of pitching, man. Morton's been better of late. Shigano's okay. Well, man, their pitching has really been awful. This is a team, their win total was in the 90s, 91, 92 projected wins 2 years ago. It looked like
they had 100 wins 2 years ago. Now,
yeah, it looked, and again, this is going to sound crazy, but at the time it was an apt comparison. They almost felt like a little OKC Thunderish, where they're really good now, but their future, oh my, the prospects and this guy and that guy, it hasn't followed that path. They flamed out both years in the playoffs, and this year they've taken not even a step back. They've taken just like, I don't know, put the keys in the car and back up and just drive a couple miles backwards. That's where they've gone this year. But leading here tonight, 4-0. Again, the ball carrying out a lot of these ballparks.
Yeah, so 4-0 there. Orioles with the lead over the Rangers. And as expected, Trevor Rogers having himself quite the performance. The Pirates have gotten on the board first in Milwaukee as we have an RBI double from Gonzalez there for the Pirates. Nick Gonzalez makes it 1-0. So the Pirates take an early lead on the Brewers as we have yet to see the starter for the Pirates throw a pitch is Braxton Ashcraft out there. And, you know, this is always kind of an interesting situation. I think back to, I think it was, I forget who LSU was playing in the College World Series. It was playing UCLA, Will. We were sitting here on the air, and it was 3-0 UCLA in the top of the first. And LSU, I want to say, closed around a minus $3 favorite, and they were plus money before they even took one swing in the bat. And lo and behold, They got four runs in that bottom of the first, and they ran away and hid. So I bring that up to say this. The Brewers right now are a minus $1.17 favorite before even stepping to the plate. They closed at minus 160. So if you were looking to get involved with the Brewers, maybe now is the time as they give up an early run in the top of the first inning.
Not the worst way to approach it, I would agree. But keep in mind, not only are they down a run, but there is a man on second, it looks like, here for Pittsburgh. So being down a run at home when you haven't hit yet, not the worst thing in the world. But when you start to get down, you know, if it's multiple another runs, run or something goes deep here, then you're, you know, you really, if you're making this bet, you're part of your bet here is, well, I feel pretty good probably that I'm going to get out of the inning without further damage. And if you wait and they do get out with further damage, without further damage, you're going to, you know, be paying more of a price. This probably moves like the 135-ish range. And they do. They get the strikeout as we go to the bottom of the first, but not a bad way to approach it for sure. Yeah.
So that is underway as the Pirates get the early run there. And right now you could get the Brewers have now shifted back to a minus $1.33 favorite. So to your point, we did see a bit of a shift after that final out was recorded. The game that we thought about making our primetime game of the night was Cubs and Cardinals. And right now that game just underway in St. Louis, and no score between the Cubs and Cardinals. Pretty much a pick 'em in that one, Will, between the Cubs and Cardinals. The NL Central right now, the Brewers kind of doing what they did last year, which is, well, last year they ran away and hid, but Brewers kind of hanging around, right? You look at that division right now, the Cubs 46-31. You've got the Brewers only 3.5 back, the Cardinals 4.5 back. So the NL Central, maybe not locked up just yet there's going to be, outside of the Pirates, feels like kind of stiff competition as the year goes on.
Yeah, National League just in general, very good. Not quite the difference like the NBA, East versus West, but the Dodgers, all the teams in the West, Mets, Phillies, if the Braves can ever get back on track, the Cubs are, like you said, are legit. We'll see if anyone else in the Central, like the Reds or you know, the Brewers or whatever, can, and the Cardinals still six over. I don't believe in the Cardinals, but the NL is deep. The NL is good. And you just look through the standings here as we, you know, we hit the summer and like a month or so, 5 weeks till the trade deadline. The problem is, and this is, you know, one of the unintended consequences of adding more playoff teams, there's just not that many sellers. You got what, the White Sox, the Marlins, the Rockies, maybe the Pirates. I mean, you got maybe five, seven teams that'll trade you guys. But with the six teams making it in each league, 12 overall, everyone's within a couple games if they want to talk themselves in, hey, we can sniff around and get a playoff spot. That just leaves only a handful of teams that are sellers, which gives them all the leverage and it makes deals harder. And there's just not as many trades or exciting trades, you know, when you get to the end of July. But keep an eye on it going forward for sure.
Yeah, I tell you what, the NL wildcard race certainly looks like it's going to be pretty wild. No pun intended. Maybe it was pun intended. Maybe. But you got the Mets, the Giants, the Brewers, Padres, Cardinals, Reds, Diamondbacks, all kind of hanging around. And then I think the one that you've alluded to multiple times is, do the Braves ever start to make that comeback here? They're seven games out of a playoff spot. And right now, just taking a look at it, I was curious if it was still up with them playing. It might have gone down. But yeah, I'd be curious what that number is after tonight's game. They now lead 3-0 after 2.5 innings there. But yeah, the NL wildcard race could be pretty fascinating as we go into the summer months here.
Do you have any futures awards? Did you get involved? I have about as few awards, futures bets as I typically had for what. There's no reason behind it. I just, for whatever reason, I didn't end up with as much, at least yet. Now, sometimes I add stuff middle of the year, but do you have anything, a lot? Well, what's your baseball futures portfolio look like?
You know, baseball, always full disclosure, probably of the major sports, the one I bet the least. I do have a Reds over ticket. I actually did make a bet over the weekend as the Nationals had the number one overall pick, and I took a little bit of a flyer on LSU's Cade Anderson to be the number one overall pick. It was plus 230 this weekend. It's now plus 210. Jackson Holliday's brother, Matt Holliday's other son, Ethan Holliday, is the favorite. But my mindset is this, and I'll say it briefly because we got to do a read before break here. But the Nationals front office is on the hot seat. And if you're Mike Rizzo, longtime GM, help be the architect of a team that won a World Series, kind of have to see results soon. And while you shouldn't do it this way, I feel like if it's close enough, Will, they might go the college pitcher route to see if he could get up to the big leagues at some point next year to be in that rotation as opposed to drafting a kid at a high school. So I took a little flyer at plus 230. So that was a future I did add over the weekend there. That might be the first MLB draft bet I've ever made. So we'll see if it ultimately plays out. Hey, folks, Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. You can sign up today, edgeboost.bet, with the promo code PRIME. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. Once again, edgeboost.bet. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Primetime.